Matthew chapter 6, please, in your Bibles. Looking at the distracting treasure. You have any treasures that are distracting you? We typically think of treasures as in possessions, and those indeed do distract us. Matthew chapter 6 is about the kingdom that the Lord is teaching us about, and in verses 1 through 18, he is teaching about recognition. You know, you'd like to be recognized for what you give, verses 2 through 4. Almsgiving, make sure your right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. You'd like to be recognized, verses 5 to 15, for your praying. So we like to pray, at least the Pharisees did, where they could be seen when they prayed. Verses 16 to 18, fasting. Make sure everybody knows when you're fasting. That way they know how spiritual you are. No, that's what Jesus is warning against. So, recognition. Then in verses 19 through 24, he talks about the kingdom and our possessions. And so we're familiar with the treasure of possessions mentioned in verses 19 to 21. Let's just read that. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, the fact is, the treasures of what you possess can be a distraction from what is most important. But Jesus goes on to mention another distraction, and this I call the treasure of certainty. Does anybody here have treasures of certainty? You don't know what I'm talking about yet. But I'm trying to pique your interest. Are you certain that what you've laid up for retirement is enough? When do you ever have enough for retirement? Are you certain that you're going to be ready for retirement? Are you certain what's going to happen with the stock market this week? Are you certain about your job situation, that a year from now you're still going to have your job? Are you certain about that? Are you certain that you're not going to get sick this week? That you're not going to get COVID? Are you certain? Are you certain things are going to soon return to normal? Do you see what I mean by the treasure of certainty? We all like certainty. We all like to be able to plan ahead and say, this is what's going to happen. I am certain about that. We treasure knowing that the future is secure, that we have it all planned out. So we plan and do all we can to remove uncertainty out of our lives. But certainty about the future is not possible. The Bible says, ye know not what shall be on the morrow. That's just 24 hours from now. You cannot plan what's going to be on the morrow. But we want to be certain. We certainly treasure being certain about certain things. And so there's the treasure of certainty, which, like the treasure of possessions, can be a distraction from what is most important. Well, I don't see that in this passage. Well, if you read on, you will. We start in verse 25. The treasure of possessions actually goes through verse 24, but notice the treasure of certainty in verse 25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat. Look up here for just a second. Are you certain you're going to have something to eat tomorrow? You say, yeah, my pantry's full. Nor what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Are you certain you're going to have food and drink and clothing for all this next year? Can I get you to start worrying a little bit? that you're not going to have, you may not have those things. But then Jesus ends that verse 25 with, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? And then he gives you a little idea. It's no accident that he says those things in verse 25. Then he proceeds to assure you with examples of how your heavenly Father provides for mere birds and plants. Verse 25, 26, behold the fowls of the air. Hey, look outside. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Out loud, the last part of that verse. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? How do we know that Jesus is dealing with his disciples about being distracted by uncertainty? Because he says in verses 31 and 32 that food and drink and clothing are a distraction to a certain group of people. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, in contrast to the Gentiles just mentioned, you seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus tells his disciples. But you seek first the kingdom of God. That doesn't make any sense to any person in this world. Because I've got to have something to eat. I've got to have something to drink. I have to have clothing. I have to have shelter. I have to have all these things. And therefore, all the Gentiles seek after those things. But in contrast, folks, to the unsaved, the saved are to be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The Gentiles seek after food, drink, and clothing. You seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, food, drink, clothing, all these things, the uncertainties we tend to get distracted with, shall be added. If you put first things first, it is certain that he, God, will add to your life what you need. Amen. So the God who created the law of addition can beat anybody in adding. And so when he says, these things will be added unto you, who promised that? And what color are the letters in your Bible here? So who said it? God, Jesus Christ. Can you trust him? Can you trust what he says? Now, if you can trust what he says, then why and how does it end in verse 30? O ye of what? I thought you said you could trust him. O ye of little faith. Now, this to me as well as to you. Three times Jesus said, take no thought. Verse 25, verse 31, take no thought. Verse 34, take no thought. By that, he is not saying that we shouldn't plan or put forth effort or have forethought. Take no thought literally means do not be anxious about it. Do not worry. You say, how do you know that's what that means? Because take no thought is a King James way of translating a word that literally means do not have divided thinking. Have you ever had divided thinking? I'll guarantee you have. And you blame it on old age. Here's what a common thing that I hear. If I weren't so old, I would remember why I went into this room to get what I was going to get. But I walked into this room and I can't even remember what I was going to get. You know what the problem is? It may be old age, but in most cases, it's divided thinking. Because you started for the room. I just figured this out, by the way. You started for the room, and on your way to the room, you thought of something else. You get into the room, and you said, why am I in this room? Because you were just thinking about something in the garage. Your thinking was divided. That is the very thing Jesus is saying here. Take no thought. Quit the divided thinking. You keep thinking about the things that are not yours to be concerned about. It's God's. He is simply going to add those things, the things that you have divided thinking over, the things that you focus on. That's what the Gentiles do. You're my child. Don't be distracted by those things. Having a divided mind is to be drawn in two different directions. You feel like you're being pulled apart. Worrying about uncertainties can do nothing but pull you apart. And that's what anxiety and worrying does. Now, there was somebody who was constantly worrying about something she shouldn't worry about. It's found in Luke chapter 10. Go with me to Luke chapter 10. She was cumbered about. Now, do you know who I'm talking about? She was cumbered about much of something. Who is that? Martha. Okay, now let's take what Jesus says to Martha and apply it back to Matthew chapter 6. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he, Jesus, entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now who did the receiving? Martha. Did Mary? Doesn't say so. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, when you first walked into this house, who would you think was really the one who was really interested in you? You would think, well, it's Martha. Mary just comes in and sits down. But let's read on. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. That word cumbered. She was It's an interesting word that occurs only here in the Bible. Cumbered. She was, the part of that word that has to do with drawing a sword. Drawing out a sword and waving it around and doing nothing. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Goes on to say, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. That word troubled. Thou art troubled, Jesus says, look at verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. Now I've skipped a word on purpose. I'm going to get back to that word. Martha, you're troubled about many things. That word troubled means you're distracted, Martha. Hey, look up here for just a minute. Is it possible for service, good service, is it possible for serving people to become a distraction from what is most important? It is. You can become so concerned about what you're supposed to be doing during a service, a worship service, that you miss the focus of the service. This is why ushers, you know what? When we sing, you sing too. Sound booth guy, you sing too. This is part of the worship service. Don't be distracted by what you're doing. People are distracted all the time by little things that they're doing on the side. They're not focused on what's happening. That was Martha. In some places, they'll sit out of the service to prepare the meal because that serving is more important than the service. Hey, what is distracting you right now? I'm not saying right now necessarily, but what is distracting you in your Christian life? Now notice the word that I missed that Jesus uses to describe Martha in verse 41. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, that's not the same word careful that our parents used and said, now when you go outside, you be careful you don't run in the street and get run over. It's not that word. That word careful is the same word used in Matthew chapter 6 that says, do not divide your thinking. Do not divide your thinking. Jesus, the prescription to Martha is then given in verse 42. But one thing is needful. Martha, you need one thing. Isn't it kind of interesting how Jesus takes somebody who's distracted, one over here, do this, I got to do this. He says, no, no, just one thing, Martha, one thing. One, Martha, Martha, one thing. Here it is. Mary has chosen that. You're running about doing all this kind of stuff, trying to get everything put together, blah, 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 blah. No, Mary is sitting at my feet and she's listening. And that will not be taken away from her. You, Martha, you're distracted with many things. Quit your divided thinking. That's miserable. Could have entitled this, The Misery of Divided Thinking. Now back to Matthew chapter 6 as we close. I have to say as we close so that you wake up. You go, oh good, the sermon's almost over. What is the one thing prescription given in Matthew chapter 6? It's found in verse 33. You seek first the kingdom of God. You seek first. Let me have your undivided attention this afternoon. You know what that means. Speaker gets up. Your undivided attention, please. Don't divide your thinking. He means focus on what is being said. And what Jesus is saying in verse 33 is this. Basically, give your undivided attention first to the kingdom of God. Now, the uncertainties that we experience can cause us to have divided thinking. That in turn will distract us from what our Lord wants us to be seeking and striving for. The kingdom of God. And his righteousness. Now, here's what is certain. You don't know if tomorrow is certain. You don't know if the stock market's certain. You don't know if the weather's certain. We don't know any. There's hardly anything we can be certain about. There's one thing you can be certain about. And that's the promises of God. If he says it, folks, he will do it. And he says, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And here, what's the promise? All these things shall be added unto you. Now, O ye of little faith, are you going to keep trusting him for that? Keep trusting him for that. And so as we close, let's sing this hymn. It's 489. All Your Anxiety. Isn't that a good one? So if you've got some anxiety problems, would you get that right with the Lord? Folks, hey, you say, Pastor, you never have an invitation on the 1:30 afternoon service. This is an invitation for you to confess your anxiousness, your anxiety, and your troubled thinking, your divided thinking, to confess that to the Lord and say, Lord, that's a sin because I'm going against your commandment. Would you confess that? Either as we sing or just remain seated and pray.